From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. In a few minutes, there are still a lot of big questions about bitcoins, but they're going to be big in a suburb of Cleveland. We'll explain.
But first, let's get to Thailand, where the country's constitutional court has ordered Prime Minister Yingluck Shinawat to step down after finding her guilty of abusing her power. Today's news follows months of political deadlock in Thailand, where anti-government protesters have been trying to force the prime minister from office. For more on this, we're joined from Bangkok by the BBC's Jonathan Head. And Jonathan, where is Yingluck Shinawat now and how is she reacting?
Well, she stepped aside. She has not contested the constitutional court verdict, even though she and her party believe it was unfair and politically motivated. She's accepted the verdict, as have nine of her cabinet ministers. So she is out of politics, and given the grueling 6 months that she's had with all the turmoil, and I would imagine she might want to take a break. But her party struggles on, albeit in a caretaker role because we have no parliament after the February election was sabotaged and then annulled. But many people assumed that if the Constitutional Court was going to get rid of her, it would get rid of her whole cabinet. In the end, the judges simply held those they said were culpable for the what they described as unlawful transfer of a senior civil servant. Those are the ones who had to go. So there's enough of her cabinet left to struggle on. And she's been replaced by her commerce minister, a man called Niwat Tamrong Buson Paiseng. He's very close, a loyalist to her brother, Thaksin Shinawat. So he's a real party insider and will not be any more palatable to her opponents, frankly, than she was. And what the party will do, I suspect, is focus on this election in July that they want to call, whether they can pull it off, given the hostility to elections among the anti-government protest movement and other legal cases that are still pending against other ministers. Well, we don't really know. Thailand's crisis has been shifted a little, but hasn't been dramatically changed.
And how are people reacting around the country? As we know, the supporters of the prime minister and her party have generally been the more rural people in Thailand, and the opponents are those in the city. So how are those two groups reacting today?
Well, there was jubilation, predictably, among the hardcore protest groups who've been occupying bits of Bangkok. They're much smaller in numbers than they were, but there was actually a pretty hardcore group just outside the court, and they were playing the anthem of King Bhumibol Adulyadet. They're hardcore royalists and always believed Ms. Yingluck's party is somehow a threat to the monarchy. Jubilant, but not completely jubilant. They had hoped that the court would administer a killer blow and finish the entire government off and meet their goal. What they want is to suspend elected government altogether and have an appointed government. Among Ms. Yingluck's supporters, they're angry, but not as angry as they might have been. As it is, the government they back limps on. And really the key thing is, what other moves are going to be taken in the next few weeks to finish this government off? Because it's bound to happen. There are very, very powerful institutions and figures who do not want Ms. Yingluck or her party to win another election. And so they will do everything they can to prevent her holding this election in July. And if possible, I suspect they'll try and find other means, probably more legal cases, to push more ministers out of office until the government effectively collapses.
And is the king likely to get involved? This is a king who is very well respected by everyone in Thailand, but also very old and frail at this point.
It's extremely unlikely. In fact, he made an appearance earlier this week, but he said nothing. He finds it hard even to speak now. People are divided about how much influence the king could even have. Some people are supporters of Prime Minister Yingluck, believe the king is quite influential and supporting the protest movement, that he's hostile to them. There's no evidence for that, but they certainly there are people very close to the palace who are extremely hostile to Ms. Yingluck, and that's why they believe the monarchy is involved. On the protest side and the opponents of Ms. Yingluck, I think, given that they are ultra-royalists, they will do everything possible to keep the king officially out of this. He's a symbolic presence, but he won't be a player in this.
But in the meantime, we're left with more uncertainty in Thailand. What is all of this doing to the economy there? It's one of the biggest economies in the region, and also to tourism.
It's shaky. I mean, tourism in Bangkok's been very badly affected. So far, the rest of the country's tourist industry is not affected because the political violence hasn't spread. That could change, of course, if the political turmoil became much worse again. But the broader economy is suffering, and it's suffering twofold. One is Foreign investors are not making big decisions, and they're complaining that the lack of a government, we haven't had a strong government in Thailand for many years now, is preventing this country from taking big important decisions to keep it competitive, improving its education system, improving infrastructure. It's falling behind. The other problem is that Thais themselves are very nervous, and they're simply not spending. And all of that is having a very big impact on the economy. This economy is slowing down. It's growing at a much, much slower rate than it was, and is in danger of falling behind its neighbors.
Including Vietnam, which has now turned into a huge manufacturing hub in the region.
Yes, and of course, we're on the cusp of a more integrated economy in this region. The 10 members of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations are at the end of this year set to declare what they call an ASEAN Economic Community. We'll have to see how effective that is in reality, but it will reduce barriers to movement of labor and goods across the entire region. And Thailand was originally very well positioned to benefit because of it's a natural geographical hub, and it does have traditionally strong advantages in terms of infrastructure and manufacturing capability over its neighbors. But it's losing those advantages if it's still stuck with this political stalemate. And frankly, it probably will be, because it's hard to see how this thing can be resolved. The country is fundamentally divided between very passionate and well-funded groups and well-supported groups, one which simply doesn't believe in electoral politics and thinks it produces only corrupt governments, and the other which believes elections — this is the supporters of Ms. Yingluck and her party — they believe elections have empowered them and for the first time given them governments that benefit them. And these are very, very strongly felt loyalties that at the moment cannot be reconciled.
The BBC's Jonathan Head joining us on this big day in Bangkok. Jonathan, thanks so much.
Good to talk to you, Jeremy.